Hallelujah. Praise God. We made it. No. None of us has made it yet. But God's got a plan, amen? He's got a powerful plan. You know, one of the things that the Lord definitely wants to do is to utilize his people to penetrate the kingdom of darkness. Amen? And so utilizing God's people to penetrate the kingdom of darkness, there is a place where there's got to be training for reigning. Everyone say training for reigning. So one of the things he asks us, he says, are you willing to do whatever it takes? It's amazing how many times people say they're willing to do whatever it takes, but then they still do it their way. You know, we are in a season right now that is very critical. It's essential. It's positional. And it's penetrating. And we are in a season where we must be sold out, but not bought out. Amen? We must come to a place where it is only Christ. We live for him, and we die for him. There's too much wishy-washy, too much contamination, and too much carnality, and too much competition, and too much stinking rebellion. It's disgusting. Totally disgusting. And I can tell you right now that the Spirit is grieved because of the rebellion of God's children. It is disgusting. And he is trying to bring us up and raise us up and put us in a place where he can flow through us. He is not interested in the anointing in our lives. He's not interested in the gifts in our lives. He's interested in his character in our life. And that's what he's bringing to pass. He doesn't care whether you cast out a devil or lay hands on the sick. That's wonderful. But even those will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils. I laid hands on the sick. I did this. I had Bible studies. I did this and I did that. And he's going to say, depart from me because you're not carrying my character. And this is what we're coming to. He is grieved because he wants to come quickly, but he would lose too many of his children. They're out of order. They're still doing their own thing. Well, I'll just do what I feel like doing. Unaccountability, unsubmissive, and unreliable. And there is a check that must be in our spirit of where we are. Where are we? Is, you know, everybody's going around, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. When you don't even know him. Because when you know someone, you do everything for him. And their character is transformed to you. The more you hang with someone, the more you become like them. See, so God is checking character. See, he's determining by our fruits of what's coming from us or who we're hanging with. You hang more with the world, you'll see more of the world in you. You will compromise. I'm telling you, the enemy right now is compromise, complacency, and laziness. And it's going to change because there's a shaking going on, a tremendous shaking. It's time to grow up. You know, one of the things of maturity is character. I don't care how long you've been a believer. If you're not mature yet, then Christ's character won't be there either. It'll be when you need it. Oh, let me use Christ's character when I need it, when I need something. But that's not what's happening now. He's shaking. He's exposing. He's saying it's time to grow up or get out of my way. Grow up or get out of my way. Has everybody got it? I can tell you that right now, it's amazing. I just got back from Canada. And Total Freedom just opened up the School of the Spirit there. And people came hungry. Hungry. First day, there was just, we didn't even advertise. That's all we did, was let some people know in the congregation. And it's not a big congregation. And 15 to 20 people showed up just so that they could learn to become mentors and be trained up. You know, it's amazing in the area of, and I can tell you this, in the area of social health care. And social health care is damaging because medication is thrown out like water. It's thrown out like water. And let me tell you, if social health care hits here, we're going to have a bunch of zombies. Because people don't know. They don't know the effect. They're believing in doctors and not believing in Jesus. But when they finally meet Jesus, then they want to get rid of the medications. That's why God is moving right now. He's moving. But people are hungry. There are those who are willing to replace us. I'm going to say that again. There are those who are willing to replace us in position. This is not religion. This is not about who we are. It's about who He is. And He is looking for Him in us. He's looking for Him in us. Amen? And there is something that is stirring right now. There is a stirring of the Lord. There's a holy anger of God that's saying, come on, wake up. Come on, wake up. You're slumbering, you're sleeping, and you're missing me. Come on, wake up. I've called you for a specific time, and now is the time. Don't sleep on me now. You know, there were five wise virgins and five dumb. And the dumb played their game. They played their religion. They did what they wanted to do. But the other ones stay filled and submissive. I'm telling you, God is looking for submission, submission, submission. Submission, submission. See, because the word says submit to God and then resist the devil. This is not a show. This is not entertainment. This is not about one person. This is not about one ministry. It's about the body of Christ coming into unity, coming into intimacy, and coming into maturity. So Christ's character can be formed. That's what it's about. So people can play their games, and you're going to miss God. And you'll stand before Him and say, Lord, Lord, but I did this. And He'll say, I don't know you. You did what you wanted to do. You didn't do what I wanted to do. Amen? And we don't want that, do we? You're here tonight because it's an appointed time for you. It's an appointed time for you to get an impartation in the fear of God. In the fear of God. See, God says something very powerful. He said He's trying to get us to a place where we are established, perfected, strengthened, and settled. So that we're immovable. There's too many dancing feet. Dance from one place to another. Too much familiar spirits being allowed in the body of Christ. Too much granolaism. And it's being allowed because people aren't discerning it. And they're not discerning it because they're not carrying the fear enough. That's all they're more interested in, goosebumps. They're interested in gifts. They're interested in what they call God's presence. When it's really not. Are you listening? God is looking for His character. And He's looking for it now. And He's going to form it. He's going to establish it. He's going to express it. And He's going to flow through it. Amen? And we have a choice to either submit to God and resist the devil, or submit to the devil and resist God. It's one or the other. Now you may think this is pretty stern tonight. That's right. Because it's a matter of life and death. Right now, there is something getting ready to happen. There is a stirring, there is a wave, and there is a flood. And God is trying to bring His glory here. And if his glory comes and you're not truly right, it may hurt you. God is trying to bring his glory through the body of Christ. Amen? Praise be to God. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, in your own common sense. See, common sense of carnality is against the wisdom of God. Let's go forward. Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. In the arena of mature, it's people that are able to understand. Everyone say understand. In this understanding, they are able to see beyond the scenes. And they are able to interpret. So everybody got it? In this understanding, with maturing, there's wisdom and understanding, but I'm sharing about understanding means that you are able to see beyond the scenes. And you are able to interpret what God's time and season is. And what he is trying to express through the events and the things that are going on. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. They're coming to what? Nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? For those who love him. Let me share something with you. I hear many people say, I love the Lord. Where there's love, there's fear. Does everybody got it? Where there's love, there's fear. If the fear of the Lord is there, there's not love. And that fear is reverence, honor, and respect. Because when you love someone, you reverence them, you honor them, and you respect them. If that is not there, it's not love. In verse 10, but God has revealed what? Them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the what? Deep things of God. How many of y'all know God wants to bring us into a deeper place? You got, let me tell you something. When the flood of the enemy comes, you must be in a deeper place with the Lord, or you'll get washed away. Your goosebumps won't save you. Your granolaism won't save you. Your gifts won't save you. It's a bummer to know what's happening and still get destroyed. Your anointing won't save you. His character will rescue you. So everybody got it? Because his character is above all things. That's why he's the name above all names. And in that character is glory. Everyone say glory. In that character is glory. The glory of the Lord. You know, my wife and I went to a revival one time, and you know, you see signs that say revival. They're not really revivals. It's just some man making something up. Because revivals don't have to be publicized. The testimonies always bring it to it. Lives change, bring revival. That's where they are. I've been in a revival for 19 years. Every morning I wake up, I'm revived. I meet my dad every morning, and it revives me. See, it's not just a group setting. It first starts with an individual setting. So one of the things that the Lord tries to do is bring unity. It's essential. They were all in one accord in the upper room, and then he poured out his spirit. Amen? So that's why there's much shaking going on. So those who are not willing to be in unity will be shaken away, so God can pour out his glory. And in this revival that we went through, we were there for about 3 days, and it was powerful. I mean, I saw a lot of things happen and so forth, but nothing happened with me. Nothing happened with my wife. So I brought home a video, and I said, well, we had another intercessor at the house, and Mom was there. And so I said, let's put the video in. Let me show you what was going on there. And all of a sudden, the pastor wasn't behind the pulpit. Somebody was giving a testimony, and they started shaking and a quaking, and they fell down. But it wasn't goosebumps. I saw the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, the pastor almost rolled over. And I said, and the understanding came, Lord, that is your glory right there. That is your glory. And when I said, that is your glory. All of a sudden, it was like somebody took me and squeezed me. Every bit of breath went, I had no breath. I couldn't even take a breath in. Every bit of my breath left me. And when I inhaled, I became a fish out of water. I was flipping and flapping all over the place because the glory of God hit me. And my arms curled back. My legs were curled. I looked like I had an epileptic seizure. But there was no pain because my flesh could not handle the glory of God. And I was flipping and flapping, and instantly my wife pulled away the coffee table. And then I flew on the floor or out of busted the coffee table. I had no control. You talk about a holy roller. The next thing I started doing was rolling. I had no control. And my language was changing. I was praying. I was speaking tongues, but it was changing in Japanese, Chinese, all kinds of stuff. Every language. I was hearing all of these languages fly out of my mouth as I was rolling back and forth. And then I saw the face of the Lord come in the living room, and he said, be not dismayed. I come to dwell with you. And he revealed to me that I was doing intercession for nations. And I couldn't get up. He said, now I want you to lay the hands on everyone in that room. There will be an impartation for a desire for the lost. And I did. It took me a couple days to recover. Because there's a desire for the lost. And those who don't understand are lost. See, people think just because they have Jesus, they're rescued. No. There are many who have accepted Jesus who are lost. They're lost. And they think they're going home. But they're still playing with the devil. They're still practicing evil. They're still promoting evil. They still approve of evil. They still approve of, listen, if you approve of rebellion, you are approving of evil. Oh, that's okay. It's, you know. If you are approving of rebellion, you are approving of evil. And the glory of the Lord will not rest on you. Amen? And God is trying to reveal these things to us, these hidden mysteries, the place of understanding and wisdom. This is not about intellectual knowledge. It's about knowing him. You can know the Bible and every page number and never know him. He wants you to experience him and his glory. And he says he's going to reveal these things, these deep things, to me and you through his Spirit. In other words, he's going to be it's releasing of spiritual understanding. Again, it's the ability to see beyond senses, scenes. and able to interpret times and seasons. In fact, you need to interpret Satan's strategies. Because he is calling seers. We are to be seers. Seers are those who can see things coming and warn others. You know, even in the full armor of God, the only thing you're not protected with is your back. Because that's everyone else's responsibility. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 17. Oh, praise be to God. Matthew 17. And verse 1. It says, now what? Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. In other words, he became light. He became pure light. He was transformed. It's called transfigured. In other words, he revealed who he was. The glory of God dressed him. Let's go a little further. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. They didn't know what to do. The only thing they could, let's build something. They didn't know what to do. Let's just build something. Because even though that they were there and saw the transfiguration of Jesus, they did not understand. They didn't get it. So they figured, well, let's just build something. We'll build a tabernacle for each of you guys, okay? But of course, it was the understanding of what was to come. See, because Moses represented those who died in Christ. Elijah will represent those who are taken up alive in Christ, and that is an event that will be established called the rapture. Because your outward man will be transformed. But God is transforming your inward man now. Until that event happens, your inward man must be transformed into his character. Amen? It is Jesus' transfiguration. But it was actually a transformation, wasn't it? And in this glory, it is transformational light. In other words, this light, this glory that he carried, changes me and you. When I had my visitation from the Lord, it was the glory of God that changed me. It wasn't somebody laying hands on me. It wasn't anything to that degree. It was the glory of God that removed the serpent from me, that removed sickness and disease, that removed lust and every other addiction and perversion, that removed it all from me, because the glory of God, in the glory, demons can't handle. They can't handle it. Now, in this arena where the transformational light or the transformational truth or the transformational glory, it changes us. And in this change, we become more of his character. For a period of time, I knew my name was Guy, but I felt just like Jesus. I felt just like Jesus. And in that, when I would see things I would think going on, I would say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know. And I'd think, oh, my God, that's what Jesus said. Because, see, I didn't know the Word. I met the Word. I didn't know the truth. I met the truth. And from that point on, I realized truth was a person who carried information for me. And he decided to leave it with me in this book called the Bible. But I didn't want to just go to the Bible, because I don't want to play Bible roulette. I wanted to go to him. And as I would go to him, he'd begin to push the Bible towards me, and I'd say, no, no, no. I don't want to know that now. I want to know you more. And because I wanted to know him more is because when that glory changes you and you get a taste of that glory, there isn't anything else you want. There isn't anything else satisfying anymore. I was fully content, although I didn't do anything or complete anything in my whole life. Never fulfilled anything, never completed anything, messed everything up. But when the glory of God came on me, I was fulfilled. It was like, whoa, it's finished. Because he finished me. But that only lasted for a period of time. Then he said, okay, come on, we got work to do. He said, now I want you to know my word. I want you to be able to teach my word. But I always want me to be before you. And in this transformational truth, light, glory, we're never the same. See, but the enemy comes to try and steal, kill, and destroy. What he's trying to do is promote rebellion again. Remember, that's why war breaks out. Where there's rebellion, there's war. And war is wrath against rebellion. It's God's wrath against rebellion. That's what war is. Wrath against rebellion. That's why war broke out in heaven. Because it was God's wrath against rebellion. Because darkness came from light. When it chose to rebel against the light, it became dark. And its name was rebellion. Although you have to use someone to do this, and his name was Lucifer, who became Satan. In this, there is a transformational light, which we call now the glory, that God is trying to bring to each and every one of us. In John chapter 1, hallelujah. Glory. John chapter 1. Let's start at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. It says, in him was life. God doesn't need life to survive. He's the life giver. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not what? Comprehend it. Remember when we were in darkness? We didn't get it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who follow his name. Because his name represents a person. Every name represents a person. Amen? His name represents our life, light, truth, dominion, authority, and power. That's the name above all names. In verse 13, it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? His glory. So he brought his glory with him, didn't he? But he showed it to his disciples, didn't he? The three, when he was transfigured, he showed the outward expression of his glory. Has everybody got it? But he was still carrying the glory, wasn't he? So he was expressing his glory through signs and wonders. He was expressing his glory through the things that he spoke, because he carried eternal words. But on the day he was transfigured, he expressed his glory of who he is and where he came from. He expressed the glory of the Father. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and behold his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the, who? Father. Full of grace, that's God's plan. That's not a mystical thing. You are saved by the plan of God. Full of God's plan or grace and what? Truth. Transformational truth. It says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Jesus is the true transforming light called glory. He was full of the plan of God and eternal truth. He came to bring it to me and you, that you and I might reach the glory. Has everybody got it? He came with his plan and truth, that you and I might reach. Once we began to understand that, we might reach that glory and grab hold of that glory, that transforming glory of God, that we are never the same. Never. In John 14:6, the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He represented himself as the tabernacle of God, and then the tabernacle of God was associated with the glory of God. The way was a representation of God's presence. The truth was a representation of God's anointing. The life was a representation of God's glory. And in this, we are in that right now. Also, it also represents the three feasts of the Lord. Feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and only he could fulfill them. These feasts are also known as time sequences. That's why it's so important to understand the feasts of the Lord. Every one of these chambers was transforming. Every single one. But it was going from glory to glory to glory. See, some people will never reach the second chamber and die. Again, each chamber has a different function, a different anointing, and a different language. That's why some people don't understand your language. Or maybe you don't understand theirs. Because each one speaks differently. It doesn't mean anyone's better than anyone else. It means somebody's more thirstier and hungry for the presence and the glory of God, and they choose to fight against rebellion and submit, to do whatever it takes. And in this third chamber of the glory of God, so the first chamber is known as the presence, the second chamber is known as the anointing, and the third chamber is known as the glory. It's also associated with things that are getting ready to happen. We've had the presence of God. Amen. We've had the anointing of God. And now we're getting ready to enter the glory of God. I'm telling you, we're getting ready to enter the glory of God. because he's coming soon and his wrath is right around the corner. We are getting ready for the wave of the glory of God, and he's going to flow through his people. But you don't want to have nothing you're entangled with. Romans 8. Romans 8, in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of glory. These are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God or children of glory. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared or complained with the glory which shall be revealed, where? In us. Do you understand that God is trying to get his glory revealed in us? This is what's happening right now. It says again, for I consider that the what? Sufferings. Are you suffering? Everybody's suffering. Suffering doesn't mean you're hanging upside down somewhere, or you're standing in fire. Suffering means that area where you are in war. You are in war. You're, and in this war, it's wrath against rebellion. You are fighting yourself. You're fighting against the things that are rebellious towards God in you and around you. That's suffering. Suffering is the place that you didn't get what you wanted. But God sometimes doesn't answer you right away because he's trying to perfect us. Look, you don't learn without suffering, right? Not only that, your enemies get exposed while you're suffering. It's too many times people run while they're suffering. They run to the phone, to the neighborhood bar, back to the dope house, or just run. It's a sign of immaturity. And God is trying to mature us. We must allow the sufferings to purify us and perfect us. If you're not willing to allow the sufferings to do these, to have its work in you, then you will always run. And you will never reach that place that God has predestined for you to reach. We cannot be runners, we must be fighters. And what are we fighting against? Rebellion. Because those who rebel run. Because they don't like the light. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. In verse 19. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, or the sons of glory. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans. That's called suffering. And labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, because the glory that God is expressing within wants to be expressed out. In other words, we are eagerly waiting for our glorified bodies. It's like, man, I can't wait to rip this thing off. Hang up this flesh coat. That's why suffering is known as trials, tribulations, God's shaking. God's what? Shaking. In this time, we will need to get wisdom and understanding. We will need to not only get wisdom and understanding, but we will need perseverance, or what we call endurance. We will need wisdom, understanding, and endurance. Perseverance. Remember, you're your worst enemy. Self is your worst enemy. You. You can't blame the devil made you do it. You have the power to choose. The devil did not make you do it. And God did not tempt you. So many people go, well, why didn't the Lord rescue me when I called? Because he gave you the tools and you're not using them. He's already answered you. He's already given us everything we need. Now people need to use them. Amen? We, again, will need wisdom and understanding and perseverance. When, as we gain more wisdom, understanding, and perseverance and endurance, this will produce unity, because you'll have a desire to want to be unified. Is everybody with me? This will promote and produce more intimacy with God. And it'll also promote maturity. And maturity is where Christ's character is expressed. Amen? Go to Romans 12. Everyone say, oh, glory. I want the glory. Well, then you got to die. Romans 12, verse 1. Let's speak it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. Do not be what? Conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, we're coming out of conforming of the world into transforming. That's called transformational light or transformational truth. Now, transformational light, grab hold of this. This light, this transformational light, is truth understood. It's what? Truth that is understood. Truth that is understood produces light. Knowledge that is understood produces truth. Has everybody got it? I'm going to say that again. Truth that is understood produces light. Knowledge that is understood produces truth. But there is a dimensional truth by revelation that becomes what we call transformational light or God's glory. And it releases his glory. Is everybody with me? So in this area where there's this transformational light, it will always release his glory. This is where he's trying to get us to. Because what does light do? Exposes all what? Darkness. So light associated with truth, we also call life, isn't it? For me and you, it's life on this realm. But again, God is trying to release his glory to us in a mightier way. We've gone from the presence to the anointing. We're going to the glory. Why? Because we've gone from the presence to the anointing to the gifting and all the signs and wonders, but we want to go to the glory. This is where we're headed. We're headed to the glory now. Amen? Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Is everybody there? And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? for the equipping, not for entertainment, not for musing. It's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the what? Unity. Everyone say unity. See, so as we begin to gain more wisdom and understanding and endurance and perseverance, one of the things that it begins to happen in you is you want unity. It begins to promote and produce unity. If you don't want unity, you're not there yet. You're still rebellious. If you're an individual that's not willing to be unified, you're in rebellion. There must be unity, oneness, so that God wants to bring us to a place of like-minded, like-hearted, and like-willed. And that's going to also promote an era where there's intimacy with God. See, if you're not willing to be unified and you're rebellious, you may think that, oh, God hears my prayers. No, he's not. You're doing it yourself. You may think you're pleasing God. If you are an individual that is rebellion against unification, you are in rebellion. And you are not submissive to the will of God. You are rejecting his will. Amen? It says, so we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which is the glory. Which is the what? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and every emotional attachment by the trickery of demons and men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, everyone say grow up, and all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. The whole body joined and knit together. That's unity, isn't it? By what every joint supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So there's no lone rangers. And there's no church hoppers. Has everybody got it? God places you into a place so that you can grow and mature. Amen? So that you can become a part of the body and unified. You know, it's amazing how many people, you know the reason why they won't settle in a place? Because they don't want to be exposed and they don't even know it. Let's go to Haggai. Chapter 2 and verse 6. Let's speak it together. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more is a little while, I will shake the heaven and earth and the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations. They shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Who's the temple? He's not talking about a building, is he? The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord. So you see all those dudes flipping those signs, buy gold here, or sell gold here, or that's all Jesus's. And verse 9. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the what? From, oh, isn't that worth just staying in position? Just to know that the glory is going to be greater than what was? Man, we ought to do backflips. Says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if anyone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food will become holy. Then the priest answered and said, no. Haggai said, if anyone who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Why? Because the priests are to discern what is clean and unclean, holy, unholy. Has everybody got it? That is the second chamber of the tabernacle. That is the anointing. Has everybody got this? This is why we're to fulfill priesthood. Because the glory won't come unless you fulfill priesthood. And a priest is one who does what? Ministers to the Lord. So if you're not fulfilling your priesthood, you can't expect the glory to come. Amen? Because you're out of position. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. So we see here that God is going to shake again, and we know everything's shaking right now, right? He's shaking the heaven and the earth. There's a lot of suffering going on everywhere. In other words, he's shaking until what can be made pure is pure by refining to release and equip his body with the glory of the Lord, the fullness of her stature, the anointing of Christ in this age. Listen, something special is about to happen. It is special. It is God's plan. It is his purpose. It is his predestined will for us. We're not here by coincidence. He's asking us to get ready. He's asking us to let go of things. He's asking us to deny ourselves. He's asking us to get in position. He's asking us to quit playing church and get back to intimacy, get back to nearness, to search your fruit, to examine yourself, to find out what your motive is pure, to whether you're a pleasing of God or a pleaser of man or a pleaser of self. We must get wisdom, understanding, and endurance. But we get it from the Spirit, amen, who searches the deep things of God and releases them to me and you. Because we are being trained right now. Training for reigning, equipping for the fullness of Christ, transformational light called glory. You're being built a testimony. We're to allow our light to shine in a dark place. Amen? Go to Proverbs 8. This is why the Spirit says, he who has an ear, let him hear. This is not about listening. It's about hearing. A lot of people listen, but not everyone hears. Glory. Proverbs 8, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city. At the entrance of the doors, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Revive my instruction and not silver. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. In other words, people search out riches more than they do wisdom and understanding of the glory of God. Your job can't save you. Your money can't save you. People put more hours into work. And I know things are difficult right now. And people are taking what can be given because jobs are few. But never let it become your God, because your job is not your source, nor is your job your provider. He is your source and provider. Your job is just a resource. Amen? And I'm going to close in Hebrews 3. Transformational light. Get ready. Don't miss. Hebrews 3. In verse 7. Let's speak it together. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, everyone say if, we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the what? To the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt representing the world, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? And now remember, sin is associated with the presence of evil, whose corpses fell in the wilderness. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not what? Obey. Obey. Is obey rebellion? No. Disobey is rebellion. Amen? Who did not obey, so they rebelled, didn't they? They didn't obey. So we see that they could not enter because of what? So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, where there's rebellion, there's disobedience. And where there's disobedience, there's unbelief. Unbelief. Amen? There's what? Unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I have more, but we're running out of time. So I just encourage you to get ready. Clean your house. Clean house. Get everything in order. And don't miss what God is about to do. Because you'll be standing on the sidelines watching everybody else. And I know you don't want to do that. Amen? This is not religion or entertainment. This is reality. This is reality. When God's glory starts to pour out and start to flow through his people, you'll probably see many people go home. Because if they're not in an area of repentance and willing to turn from their ways, they'll be moved out of the way. We're in a time and season of sternness, of discipline, of consistency, of of accountability, responsibility, where God is trying to get people he can trust, who won't waver, who won't compromise, who won't slumber, and who won't run, but will fight. This is where we are, and this is why God placed us in here. Because there's a slew of individuals bound by drugs and alcohol right down the street that need Jesus. And this is going to be a port to his glory. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. We ask, Father, that this seed would be protected by the blood and allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that understanding and wisdom and endurance would be manifested in each and every one. That transformational light would be expressed through us, and that your glory would dress us. Yes. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah.